Welcome to Day of Destiny with Dr. Michelle Correll, author, prophetic teacher, and pastor of Breath of the Spirit Prophetic Word Center. Dr. Correll can be seen weekly, nationwide, and around the world on her weekly telecasts that air on God TV, Impact, and Word Network. Now, let's join Dr. Correll by experiencing Day of Destiny, designed with your highest destiny in mind. Now, here is Dr. Correll.
Hallelujah. I want us, if we will, tonight I'm going to call this solar eclipse, I'm going to call the pattern that we're going to show you from the Word of God, the signature of God. Can you say this with me? The signature of God.
Signature of God.
What is a signature? Dr. Sanjay, just plain, everybody knows what a signature is, but what would that mean, the signature of God?
A signature of God, if I take it in the most basic level, when you sign a letter, you sign a document, you sign court papers, they all have your signature or your initials. Well, God has embedded his signature in creation. And as we learn from Genesis 1:14, God's signature is even in the heavens. We can just look and see God's signature in his handiwork.
Exactly. And there's one signature that God uses throughout the Bible. How many of you would like to see what God's signature looks like? Would you raise your hand? Hallelujah. All right. Let's go, first of all, to prove that what we're about to show you is right written in the Word of God. Let's go to Exodus chapter 31. And looking at verse 18. But before we do that, I'm going to ask you to look at Exodus chapter 12, and we're going to look at verse 13, because I'm going to show you what God's signature looks like, and then we're going to go and get three different scriptures on the evidence of the pattern. Now, I'm going to speak to you for a moment about the pattern of the solar eclipse tomorrow, but also the pattern that took place in the solar eclipse of 2017, which was on Rosh Chodesh Elul. Can you say that with me? August 21st, 2017, Rosh Chodesh Elul. Amen. And the pattern was an Aleph pattern. And we see that from Rosh Chodesh Elul, the solar eclipse, then we see from tonight, actually in between, there was the solar eclipse 7 days after October 7th. So this would be October 14th, 2023. Initially, when I heard of that solar eclipse, I was very leery about it because it didn't fall on a biblical feast, is what I thought. But after doing more investigation, Pastor Sanjay, I really believed, how could there be a solar eclipse 7 days after October 7th? You have two sevens. You have October 7th, 2023. Then you have a solar eclipse 1 week later. We're looking at the pattern of seven. Can you say that with me? The pattern of seven. Why is the pattern of seven so significant? Number one, because seven is the symbol of the feasts of the Lord. Can you say that with me? Seven is the symbol of the feasts of the Lord. And secondly, seven is the number of end times. So in case you never read the book of Revelation, guess how many times seven is in the book of Revelation? Would someone like to take a wild guess? Okay, somebody? All right, somebody else? All right, there's actually 95 references to seven in the 22 chapters of the book of Revelation. So if you break that down, Pastor Sanjay, and you have 95, you basically have in every chapter several references to seven or seven. And so is that an accident, or do you think that's deliberate? Those of you who study biblical hermeneutics with us, do you think that it's an accident that seven is in the book of Revelation 95 times, or do you think that's a deliberate pattern? It's a deliberate pattern. It's placed there on purpose by God. Repetition means something special. Can you say that with me? Rule number 10. Rule number 10. Now I'm going to give you a rabbi's name that's very difficult to pronounce. And we're going to ask Pastor Sanjay to pronounce it. It's really, I'm just doing it for a joke, Pastor Sanjay. But I'm just going to tell you, this name is very unusual. His name is Rabbi Jose Eliyahu. Jose Eliyahu Ha Galili. Say it with me. Rabbi Jose Eliezer Ha Galili. He's from Galilee. Say it with me. From Galilee. Okay. He wrote 32 rules, biblical hermeneutical rules. These were a more exhaustive set than the initial seven midot of Hillel, which are seven rules of interpreting scripture. So now we're getting a little more, just a little more academic, if you don't mind. Do you mind? Because we're studying provocative material, aren't we? So don't we need to be scriptural? Don't we need to be exacting if we're going to study something as provocative as the solar eclipse so we don't sound like fanatics? How many of you want the word of God to go forth with understanding and knowledge? Would you put your hands up? Amen. So in the 32 rules of Rabbi Jose Eliezer HaGalili, he wrote rule number 10. And rule number 10 is, repetition means something special. So if you see in the biblical text a word repeated, or you see in the biblical text a number repeated, the author did that on purpose because they want to draw your attention to it. Do you all understand what we're speaking about? So seven is the number that we need to understand that represents end times. So when embarking upon the eclipse, we see 7 years between eclipse number one, which we are calling eclipse number one of 2017, Rosh Chodesh Elul, till eclipse number two, which is October 14th, 2023, 7 years approximately between the eclipses. Are you following me, saints? Because literally, it's just a few weeks short of 7 years. So if we evaluate this, this is spiritually significant. And the fact that this October 14th didn't fall on a literal one of the biblical feasts of Leviticus 23, but we do find that it's actually the last day of the month of Tishri. So what would that mean, Pastor Sanjay? Is the month of Tishri a month of holiness? What does that mean on the biblical calendar?
It's a tremendous month of holiness. Tishri is the seventh month of the Hebrew calendar, so we see another seven. And Tishri contains many feast days. First day of Tishri is Rosh Hashanah, which is a day many of us are familiar with. 10 days later, we have Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. 5 days later begins the first day of the seven-day feast of Sukkot, so we have another seven. And so we see this pattern of this repeating pattern of sevens. So repetition does mean something special.
Exactly. So actually finding that October 14, 2023, 1 week after the horrific events of October 7th, we realize 7 days is very significant, not only in the sense that it's a cycle that God uses in his word, but it is also spiritually significant of the fact that we're in end times and it is ending Tishri, the holiest month of the year, which is the seventh month on the biblical calendar. Amen? Amen. All right, so let's go to Exodus chapter 12, verse 13. And the Bible says, and this blood will be a token, say it with me, a token. Say it with me, a sign This blood shall be a sign upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague will not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. So we need to recognize right here that this word sign is very important. This word token. Can you say it with me? Token. Now, I want you to understand how token is spelled in Hebrew, because the way token is spelled in Hebrew is actually going to correlate with the pattern of the Aleph Tav pattern that we are seeing three eclipses on for the past years. All right, we see a pattern being developed, and this is the ancient pattern. You're going to see it here on the screen. The ancient pattern, or the ancient biblical letters of Aleph and Tav. Can you say this with me? The biblically ancient version of the Hebrew alphabet, and we're focusing on Aleph and Tav. The question arises, why did God ordain that the three eclipses follow the pattern of Aleph and Tav? And why is the Aleph and Tav shaped like the ancient biblical Aleph and Tav? It's not the modern one, nor is it the one that is used for Torah scroll. For example, if we could just quickly change to a Torah scroll really quick and then go back to this pattern, I want God's people to see a Torah scroll and the letters on the Torah scroll. You really can't see. They're just rushing so quickly. But notice they don't look like the letters that you saw on the map a moment ago, do they? They have a different shape, don't they? Okay, so can I explain to you a concept in Hebrew? Because we got to study this in the context of Hebrit. Why is evaluating these signs from heaven, to evaluate it through the lens of Hebrit, why is it so important, Pastor Sanjay?
It's because they include God's signature. And to understand God's signature, we have to go back to the original Hebrew, not the Hebrew that's written today. It's the Hebrew that God wrote with in the Ten Commandments. We have to go back to the original.
Exactly. Let me share with you for a moment. In Hebrew, there are levels of what we call Kedusha. Can you say it with me? Kedusha. Kedusha means holiness. All right, so there are levels of holiness. What version of Hebrew would you think to be the holiest? Would you think secular Hebrew, or would you think definitely the Hebrew that we just saw in the scrolls, that is another version of Hebrew letters? Or do you think the holiest version, the highest level of Kedusha, would be in the one that God wrote with his finger? Okay, say it with me. Highest level of Kedusha. The one God wrote with his finger. Can you compare that with any other level? No, you can't, all right? And definitely all Torah scrolls that are written not with the level of Hebrew, the ancient version of Hebrew that God wrote, but there is a level of Hebrew that is also very holy that is used to write all Torah scrolls. That is also holy. But do you think its level of holiness is the same as the one God wrote? No. To a Western mind, in the Christian church, we would say, well, it's all the same. But I'm sorry, it's not that way in reality. We have to get out of the Gentile mind and let's adopt a Hebrew mind, because the Bible was written by Jews and the Bible was written originally. I want you to understand, Jesus is a Jew. All the disciples are Jews. And Paul is a Jew. Every author of Scripture is a Jew. So we're coming with this Gentile mentality, and there's nothing wrong with it. But how many of you don't want to miss anything? How many of you like details? Do you like a piece of cake with icing on it? How many like all the details and want all the icing? Well, Hebrew brings you the icing on the cake, okay? It helps you understand how sweet God's word is. It causes you to taste the word of God and see that it tastes like honey in the rock and oil out of the flinty rock. Hallelujah. Somebody should shout the victory. All right. So now I want to share with you this blood shall be a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague will not be upon you when I smite the land of Egypt. The word I want you to see is a token, which in Hebrew is spelled Aleph Vav Tav. Say it with me. Aleph Vav Tav. So literally, I want to explain to you Aleph and Tav. Okay, can we do that? Okay, Aleph is first. It is the first letter in the Hebrew alphabet. And Tav is the last letter in the Hebrew alphabet. Sit with me. The first and the last. The first letter and the last letter. So you say, where does the Vav come in? You know, you can say, okay, Dr. Crowell, we understand Aleph and Tav, but why is it Aleph Vav Tav? I want you to understand the Vav in this particular sign is actually a conjunction. It unites the Aleph and Tav. So the way to say it would be the word and, okay? The letter Vav is the word and. Say it with me. The letter Vav is the word and. It's a lot of other little conjunctive words as well, but in this case, it's the word and. Say it with me. The letter Vav is the word and. Now, Vav looks like a straight stick going up, okay? But it's Aleph, Vav, Tav. This blood will be a sign, a token, an Aleph and a Tav. Do you get it, saints? God is marking his signature with Aleph and Tav. Say it with me. God is marking his signature with Aleph and Tav. Okay. Now let's just say somebody comes up to you and says, I've got a great gift for you. And they say, I've got for you a brand new Gucci. And you look at that Gucci and you see it's a big, huge purse and you think, wow, if they got me a Gucci. It's in a Gucci bag, and wow, it smells like real leather. It must be a real Gucci. And you look at it, and it's nothing but a fake. What would you do? Okay, I want to tell you something. The only way you're going to tell if it's a real Gucci is the way the signature is written, and there are certain signs on that bag that make sure that you know that it's the signature of Gucci. Do you understand? All right. Tell us about the signature of God. Why is Aleph and Tav God's mark?
It's one of the holiest marks in the entire Bible. And so, and even in Revelation, where Jesus says, we translate it as Alpha and Omega, but Jesus is saying he's using his signature, the signature of God, because he's saying, I'm the Aleph on the Tav.
Okay, great. So we have a lot of signs that are out there today, and we're not in any way diminishing those signs. Okay, there are a lot of signs that say this path, a lot of signs that say that path, a lot of signs that are very good and well-researched. But God, and I'm going to show you from the Word of God, has put his signature on Aleph and Tav. So I want to prove to you that the eclipses that have taken place are in the path that God put them on with his signature. Are you hearing this? So there's no room for anybody to say, this is an imitation. There's no room for anybody to debate it. It's already written in God's word, and you can't debate it. So I want you to see, it's not speculation. So any of the other evidences that are really important, and we want to value those areas of research, but we're going to use those as secondary supporting evidence. That is not our basic evidence. If you don't have scripture, child, it's not your evidence. Okay, if you don't have it written in God's word and you just get all worked up over it, that is going to lead you in a path of error. We have to have God's signature on everything. Are you following me? If you are, say amen. Amen. Now, that does not mean that we disregard some of the other incredible signs, okay, and some of the other supporting evidences. But if I was in a court of law, I would not take that to debate. I would not take that to present an argument that is going to prove, excuse me, I'm so sorry. I'm not going to use that to prove the fact, thank you. I'm not going to use that to prove the fact that this is from heaven. That if the signs that we see that are out there that are not biblically based, or someone says somewhere in the Bible it says, and if they don't give you scripture, and if they don't give you substance and background, then if it's good and it's reliable and it's historical and it's a good piece of evidence, use it as supporting evidence. But you can't build a case on something that's not right from the Word of God. It won't stand up in court. Are you hearing me? If you are, say amen. Amen. All right. So let's build a case with confidence, because we don't have to be shy about it, wondering is this from God or not, because God's already shown in his word the signs he's going to use to prove solar eclipses and lunar eclipses. He's already given us his signature on it. Hallelujah. Somebody should shout the victory. All right. So let's go. First of all, we believe that the Bible, and we must understand textually and biblically, the concept of the Aleph Tav. So you might be asking right now, why is the Aleph Tav the signature of God? Let's go, please, to the book of Exodus, the 31st chapter and the 18th verse. If you have your Bible, and I pray we are still bringing our Bibles to church with notebooks, and I pray we're still studying God's word. Are we doing that? Hallelujah, making the study of God's word our lifestyle. And I know you are, but I'm just saying tonight we kind of need it, because we need to find out where this evidence is, because people are going to be asking you, and you can pull out the signature of God. Amen? All right, Exodus chapter 31. I will read it to you from verse 18. Notice, the Bible says, and God gave Moses, when he made an end of communing with him on Mount Sinai, two tablets of the testimony of stone written with the finger of God. Say this with me, Exodus 31:18. Last line, written with the finger of God. Hallelujah. Somebody should shout the victory. Let's look at evidence number two, can we? Now, is that enough to build a case? It's extremely good evidence when you have one scripture. But if you have two scriptures, what does the Bible say? In the mouth, what? Of two or three witnesses, let every word of God be established. Turn to your neighbor and say, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word of God be established. Okay, so do you think two scriptures can build you a case? The answer is yes. You can build a family of texts. You can build an argument on two scriptures. All right, let's do this, but we're not building an argument on two scriptures. We're going to build an argument on many scriptures, okay? We're going to prove this over and over. Exodus chapter 31, verse 1. And let's read it. It says, and the Lord said to Moses, hew unto thee two tablets of stone like unto the first, and I will write Who's doing the writing? I will write, hallelujah, I will write upon these tablets the words that were in the first tablets that you broke. So who wrote it? Say this with me, the signature of God. So now how many evidences do you have that the Ten Commandments were written with God's finger and the signature of God is written in it? Okay, so if there are Ten Commandments, Pastor Sanjay, tell us what the Ten Commandments begin with. What letter?
The Ten Commandments begin with the letter Aleph.
Exactly. The word Anohi, say it with me, Anohi. Anohi is an Aleph. He said, I am the Lord your God. Anohi. Say it with me. Anohi. Anohi. So the Ten Commandments that was written by the finger of God, the first letter that is written is what? Aleph. Aleph. Say the first word, is Anohi. Anohi means I am. Say it with me. I am. Okay, so the first letter that's written is what? Aleph. Aleph, say it with me, Aleph. Okay, can I tell you something about the origin of Aleph? Would you like to know that everything in Hebrew has a concept behind it? Say this with me, everything in Hebrew has a concept behind it. Okay, so there is a concept behind the letter Aleph. Now, in Hebrew, there is not only letters, but all the letters are also numbers. And this means that Hebrew is an alphanumeric language. Say that with me. Hebrew is an alphanumeric language. Okay. Now, Aleph, Pastor Sanjay, has an origin. Because the Bible begins with Bereshit. The second letter, doesn't it? So Aleph technically is before the beginning. Say this with me. Aleph is before the beginning. Okay, so here we see, beloved saints, that the signature of God is on Exodus 34, verse 1, saying, and I will write upon these tablets the words that were in the first tablets that you broke. Let's go to Deuteronomy. And let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 9. Can we do that? Yes. Deuteronomy chapter 9, we're going to begin with verse 9 before verse 10. But verse 10 is the key. I'm showing you a third scripture that proves the Ten Commandments, which were written in ancient Hebrew. That's why I'm proving to you ancient Hebrew was written with the hand of God. So when you say the solar eclipse, it's in the path of Aleph and Tav. An Aleph and Tav has been shaped from the solar eclipse pathway. And it's shaped in a perfect shape of an ancient Aleph and an ancient Tav. Are you following me? So I want to prove to you that just as the Aleph and the Tav are the signature of God, the pathway of three solar eclipses are in the pathway shaped like, exactly like an ancient Aleph and an ancient Tav. Are you following me? All right. Let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 9. Deuteronomy chapter 9, looking at verse 9. When I was gone up to the mount to receive the tablets of stone, even the tablets of the covenant, which the Lord made you, then I abode in the mount 40 days and 40 nights, and I neither drank, ate bread nor drank water. And the Lord delivered unto me. So what does that mean, Pastor Sanjay? Who delivered the Ten Commandments to Moses? The second set, he had a hew out of stone. Mm-hmm. They were empty, and God carved on the second set just like the first. But the first set, did it come from stone on earth? Or where did it come from?
It came from heaven.
Turn to your neighbor and say, anything that God gave to man from heaven is not irrelevant. Hello, I said, anything that God gave from heaven is not irrelevant. Can we get a witness somewhere? So I know there's a lot of new theology right now that says the Ten Commandments are passé. There are a lot, there really is. There is a heresy that actually says you don't need the Ten Commandments anymore. But I want you to know something. Everything in the Bible is personal, powerful, prophetic, and relevant. And we don't take anything out of the Bible and create a new Bible. Hello? All right. So verse 10. Let us look at verse 10. Verse 10, and Pastor Sanjay, would you like to do us the honor of reading verse 10?
And the Lord delivered unto me two tables of stone, written with the finger of God, and on them was written according to all the words which the Lord spake with you in the mount out of the midst of the fire on in the day of the assembly.
Hallelujah. Can we give God the glory and give God the praise? So now we have three witnesses. We have Exodus 34, 1 that says, I will write upon the tablets the words. Then we have in Deuteronomy chapter 9, 10, written with the finger of God according to all the words. Then we have Exodus 31, verse 18, last line, written with the finger of God. So why are we establishing the importance of being written with the finger of God? So that you would know the letters in ancient Hebrew are extremely holy and they have significance and they are God's signature. Are you following me? This produces evidence textually and it produces evidence hermeneutically as well. All right? Now, I want us to see, dear people of God, that this means that as it is written three times, God already established it. So now I want us to see, going back to the United States map and going back to the solar eclipse, looking at the Aleph Tav in that particular, do you see the Aleph and the Tav? Do you see that, Pastor Sanjay?
I do.
Okay, tell us where the Aleph is right. And where the Tav is.
All right. It's actually what looks like a cross here. Is part of the ancient Aleph. So it almost looks like a sideways V with a diagonal line coming through it. So
and then we have from the side, looks like I can't see.
Right, on the left-hand side, it looks like the ancient Tav, which is like this and like
okay, this.
Okay,
yeah. Exactly. So we have the ancient Tav and the ancient Aleph. Now, I want you to know, beloved saints, thank you so much, Dr. Gregory. We appreciate that. We want you to know that notice how it looks like a cross.
Yes.
Okay, but it's an extended cross. Okay, so this extended cross breaks into Aleph. So Aleph is here, Tav is here. We have it together, the Aleph and the Tav. All right, do you see that? Perfectly put together. Now, why is that so important? The paths of the solar eclipses, 2017, 2023, 2024, when marked, when they took the paths, marked together, all together, and we don't know about tomorrow, but it's supposed to be in the same path. That's why we're showing it, because it's supposed to be in the same path tomorrow. They've already marked it out. Right. How did they mark it, Pastor Sanjay? We're using your expertise.
They've actually, NASA has known the patterns for years. So they've been able to project all the patterns that have gone all the way back to before Christ, and they projected the patterns that have all the patterns that have occurred even into the future. It's just absolutely incredible that they have all these projections, and then we're seeing it line up with God's word.
Praise God. Can we give God the praise and the glory? Hallelujah, hallelujah. So we have three reliable witnesses, don't we? We have three reliable witnesses to testify that this evidence is true and correct. We have Exodus chapter 31, verse 18. We have Exodus 34, verse 1. And we have Deuteronomy 9, 9, and 10. All right, so now let's look at Aleph and Tav. We saw it as God's signature, but is it God's sign? How many want to see, is it God's sign? We know it's God's signature, but it has to be a sign also, doesn't it? So let us see if Aleph and Tav is not only God's signature, but it also becomes God's sign. All right? And so we are seeing a fourth evidence. Let's go to Exodus chapter 32, and we're going to use it from the screen. Exodus chapter 32 on the screen, verses 15 and 16. I'm going to ask everyone to read it together, okay? Can we do that? All right, Moses is giving his testimony in Exodus 32, 15. And the Bible says, and Moses turned and went down from the mount, everyone, and the two tablets of the testimony were in his hand. And the tablets were written on both sides. On the one side and on the other side were they written. Verse 16, and the tablets were the work of God. Hello? I said the tablets were the work of God. And the writing was? The writing of God graven on the tablets. Got it? Okay. So now let's see what sign does God use. We see the signature of God. Now let's see the sign. Let's go back to Exodus 12 and look at verse 13. Now that you have heard that the Aleph and the Tav is God's signature, it is also a sign. It's used in signs. When God sees an Aleph Tav sign, that means it's a legitimate sign from heaven. Hallelujah. So you want to know what's going to make this a legitimate sign? Okay. Is it going to be that it just sounds really great and wow, the sun was shining and everybody went out there with their glasses and everything was so cool? Is that really going to make God's sign? No. Not necessarily. Not every lunar eclipse and not every solar eclipse is a sign from God, although God made all solar eclipses and God made all lunar eclipses. There is a criteria that proves it's not random. How many of you want to prove it's not random? Okay, what does random mean, Pastor Sanjay, in case there's somebody that says, wow, Dr. Grau, what do you mean? Tell us what we mean.
Random is something where I would say it's an opposite of a pattern. So something that just, like, and of course this word does not exist in Hebrew. Coincidence, happenstance, it's just something that just happened. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about God's divine providence, God's signature, God's handiwork, God's design. And happenstance is just the opposite.
Yeah, so when we go after every single solar eclipse, when we go after every single blood moon, We are actually, beloved, there's nothing wrong with seeing them. They're God's creation. Who wouldn't want to see them? I mean, this is the majesty of God. The Creator made these things. It's glorious to see, isn't it? But to chase after every lunar eclipse and every solar eclipse cheapens what God is doing, because God has specific criteria that demonstrates that what is happening is from him, and what is happening is a true legitimate sign, and that what is happening, beloved saints, is not coincidence or happenstance. Do you understand? So what are we doing up here today? We're eliminating happenstance. Okay? Can we do that? Why is it important to eliminate coincidence or happenstance, because you can have a lot of spectators today that will be viewing and saying, you know what, that's just a bunch of hogwash. You know, I don't believe in it. And there's nothing wrong. They have their right to believe whatever they want to believe. But we are here to prove that you're going to have to really work hard at doubting, because the evidence to believe is stronger than the evidence to doubt. Hello? Glory to God. Somebody should shout the victory.
Hallelujah.
All right. So is that correct, Pastor? Go ahead.
Absolutely, Dr. Corral. And, you know, so often we rationalize everything and say God wasn't in it. And what Dr. Corral is showing us today, using all this evidence, is that God's, you'd have to be blind not to see God's handiwork here. I mean, all the signs are in the place. That there's no way that we can deny God's involvement in creation.
Exactly, beloved. Let's look, dear ones, at Exodus 12, verse 13. I want to go over this again. I want to make sure we all see this, or the blood shall be a token. The word token is aleph of tav. Say it, an aleph and a tav. The blood will be an aleph and a tav. Upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague will not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Okay, so this word token, as we have shared, is aleph and tav. And I want you to see this is the biblical formula. Ot, aleph tav, and otot, aleph tav for plural. Let's go for a moment to Genesis chapter 1, verse 14. But allow me, if you will, to use the many times aleph and tav are used for sign in the Bible. Can we do that? Okay. First of all, aleph and tav, ot or otot for plural. Set with me, ot or otot for plural. So if you're saying aleph and tav, you're saying ot. And if you're saying signs, plural, you're saying otot. Okay, so ot and otot. Okay, let us look, beloved saints, at ot and otot. First, we see that the otot or ot means a distinguishing mark. A second meaning from an incredibly reliable source, which is the Brown Driver Briggs lexicon of Hebrew and Greek words. And the actual meaning of ot and otot from Brown Driver Briggs Hebrew lexicon is distinguishing mark, warning. I said warning. Turn to your neighbor and say, aleph and tav is a warning sign. Okay? It's also miracles, and it's also proof. Got that? It's also the word witness. So aleph and tav are a witness. Aleph and tav are proof. Aleph and tav are miracles. Mal aleph and tav are warnings. Say with me, warnings. All right, let's get a little more specific so we can see that aleph and tav is used much through both the Hebrew and through the New Testament scriptures. We see in the Hebrew scriptures, because aleph and tav would be alpha omega in Greek, but it translates aleph and tav. But in the Hebrew scriptures, we have ot or otot used 60 times. 60 times for the word sign. 60 times. We have 14 times aleph and tav or otot used 14 times. We have aleph and tav used 2 times. We have insignia or marking or emblem used 79 times. And we have the word mark used one time. So why is it important that we see how many times it's used in Scripture? That Aleph-Tav is used for sign so many times in Scripture. Why is that even relevant?
When we see things repeated, especially multiple times in God's Word, it's teaching us that we really need to pay attention. And as each sign, or each, you know, whether it's a warning or a sign or an emblem, as it's repeated multiple times, it gives us more understanding on what that Aleph Tav means.
Hallelujah. Yes. Okay, so now we're going to ask if we can put up some of the lunar eclipse and solar eclipse videos that we have up. I want us to look at Genesis, beloved saints, and we're going to look at Genesis chapter 1. All right, and I'm going to speak to you for a moment because we had three different arguments, okay? One, we have the path that the solar eclipse is going to be on is the Aleph Tav path, correct? Secondly, we have to prove that this is a path with the signature of God. We proved Aleph and Tav as the signature of God, did we not? Yes. Now, we proved also that Aleph and Tav is the signature of God, plus it's the formula of God's signs. When God is performing a sign, it's an Aleph Tav sign. Do you see that? Signs and evidences and miracles always reveal the Aleph Tav somewhere. Do you understand? Okay. The third piece of evidence is that I want you to see the Aleph and the Tav in the DNA of creation. Say it with me, the DNA of creation. Okay, the DNA of creation is so important that we be able to notify the DNA of creation. Right from the beginning, you say, Dr. Corral, who do you think you are saying the DNA of creation? Let me tell you, God's word is the DNA of creation. I said God's word was the DNA of creation. Are you following me? All right, so we have to see in God's word, in the DNA of creation. For example, I want you to understand something just a little bit about DNA. DNA is a complex. It's a complex molecule that contains within it all the information to build and maintain organisms. So that means in one molecule of DNA, you are going to find so much information. You are going to find so many different patterns and different genetic programs that can come out of it that we need to see. That in a biological sense, DNA controls the genes. It controls the genes in my body. It controls the genes in your body. But also in creation, I want to use this example. When a baby is born, and we talked to several medical doctors about this, when a baby is born, the DNA in that baby will determine when that child is maybe 20 years old, what size shoe it's going to have. Though when it's born, the child must grow into it and develop it. Do you understand? But it's already encoded in the child that the child will have size 13 shoe, or the child will have blue eyes, or the child, God forbid, would have a certain genetic disposition transferred in the genes, because the genes are controlled by DNA. All right, so do we all understand that? All right, I want you to see the words God used when he was creating. The Bible says God said, let there be light. He commanded it, didn't he? All right, and there was light. The Bible says God said, let the upper waters be divided from the lower waters. Still, we have a command, don't we? Yes. When God spoke to the seas, he said, let the waters be divided from the waters and let dry land appear. That's a command also, isn't it? All right. But as we develop in the commands of God, when it comes to the sun and the moon, we have a slight change in the order of command. Is that relevant or irrelevant? Okay, why would that be relevant? Why would I even need to pay attention to the fact that there's been a consistent pattern that says, and God said, let there be. And now all of a sudden, God said, let there be light. Let there be, let there be, let there be. And why would the change be important to recognize?
Because we need to recognize the shift, and we need to ask, you know, now what point is the Lord making? Because like when we see the words and God said 10 times in the creation story, and then we also see another pattern of let there be. So we ask questions so we can understand what the Lord is teaching us.
Exactly. I know we have this wonderful solar eclipse or these eclipses up, but can we put the scriptures up so you can see the difference? Can we do that? All right, let's look at Genesis chapter 1, verse 14, beloved saints. Let's look at that. Genesis chapter 1, verse 14. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament to divide the day from the night. Now watch this. It's changing just a little bit in the second order of command. And let them be for signs and for seasons, for days and for years. Notice, let them be is not something that is, I want you to understand, it's something that's becoming. It's like in the DNA. When you are born, everything about you is already encoded in you, unless there's a genetic healing through the blood of Jesus, and that thing that you inherited that was cast out and brought into reversal through prayer, hallelujah, you don't receive it. You don't have to receive your mother's cancer. You don't have to receive kidney disease. You don't have to receive it. In the name of Jesus, you rebuke it and not receive it. Okay, but it's already encoded in it. It appears that God is creating. He already created the sun and the moon because he already made a command. What was the command? God said, let there be lights in the firmament. That's when they were created. Are you understanding? The sun and the moon were created when God said, let them be. Let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven. Going back, please, we're not changing the verse. We're going to verse 14. Okay, so it says, God said, let there be lights in the firmament to divide the day from the night. Now watch. This indicates that they're already created, but something is being spoken into them that will appear in the appointed time. I hope you're hearing this. Let them be for signs. Turn to your neighbor and say, the signs is the word otolt. Aleph and Tav. Somebody better turn to their neighbor and say, the signs God created at creation are Aleph Tav signs. You all don't sound very excited. I know it's a little bit boring, but I gotta do this. All right? I have a responsibility. I want God's people to get so blessed tomorrow in the solar eclipse, but I want it to be according to knowledge. I want God to speak to you tomorrow. I want you to have dreams tonight. I want God to pour out his spirit on you. I want you to be anointed for end times. And so, please. please forgive me if this is a little lengthy or a little monotonous, but I have a responsibility to deliver it the way God gave it so we don't have any questions about it. Because I want you to dream tonight. I want you to be anointed. I want you to prophesy. I want you to have dreams. I want God to show you what is happening. And I know he will, because of your love for him and his love for you. Amen? All right. So let's look. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night. And let them be for Otot. Let them be for Aleph and Tav. And for what? Seasons. The word seasons is Moedim. Say it with me. Moedim. What are Moedim?
Moedim literally means meetings, but they're times of divine convocations, divine meetings with heaven, where God meets his people in supernatural ways.
Okay, so these divine meetings are called?
In Greek, feasts. Feast, yes.
They are called feasts. Say it with me, feasts. Okay, so it says here in the scripture, and let them be for signs, otot, and for Moedim, Ul Moedim. Say it with me. Ul Moedim. So let them be Ve'otot, Ul Moedim. Say it with me. Ve'otot, Ul Moedim. Okay, let them be for signs and for seasons, for days and for years. So the signs are also, they're called Aleph Tav signs. So that means when there's a solar eclipse, when there's a lunar eclipse, they need to be in the Aleph Tav pattern. Are you following me? Because Aleph Tav is the signature of God. Got it? Hallelujah. And now we see in the DNA of creation, God said he already embedded in the DNA creation, he destined the sun to be a sign, an Aleph Tav sign. He destined the moon to be an Aleph Tav sign. Somebody should get a little excited about this. All right, I'm going to close with this. Get your papers out. All right, we're going to give, and then we're going to anoint everybody. We're going to come down, and you are going to be anointed for tomorrow, Rosh Kodesh Nisan. Somebody should praise God, Rosh Kodesh Nisan, tomorrow. All right, let us go over these 10 signs in 10 years really quickly. The Aleph Tav pattern. First of all, before the signs begin, we have Hanukkah 2013. 2013 on Hanukkah, Comet Ison came near the perihelion of the sun and did not disintegrate. We saw at the same time when this phenomena took place that the greatest natural disaster on Earth in human history took place in the Philippines, 7,000 miles of mass destruction, which was Hurricane or Typhoon Haiyan. Then we see the beginning of signs. 10 years, say it with me, 2014 to 2024. Say it again, 2014 to 2024. Say it with me, 10, like the 10 plagues of Egypt. And this is the month of Nisan. And this will be the 10th plague, or the 10th sign. It's 10th sign, okay. Passover 2014, blood moon. And I call this, and have always referred to this, way back when we didn't know there was gonna be so many signs, and we didn't know about COVID, we didn't know about solar eclipses continuing, we didn't know any of that. We started on studying these patterns and teaching on them. And every year it kept growing with more and more signs. Are you following me? But from the very beginning, we identified these signs as Aleph Tav signs. Why? Because Passover is the first biblical feast and Sukkot is the last biblical feast. Do you see that? So it's an Aleph Tav sign. Passover 2014, blood moon. Sukkot 2014, blood moon. We won't go into the blood moons tonight. March 20th, 2015, Rosh Chodesh Nisan, like tomorrow, solar eclipse. Passover 2015, blood moon. Sukkot 2015, blood moon. Purim 2016, which was the same day President Benjamin Netanyahu, on this very day, went to the nations of the world to request that the nuclear warfare set up by Iran be monitored. All right? And he used Purim as his background. August 21st, 2017, Rosh Chodesh Elul, solar eclipse, and this is also an Aleph Tav sign. And why are we calling it an Aleph Tav sign? Because it belongs to the three that you just saw, okay? Belongs to the three. The three solar eclipses that we are referring to, tomorrow's solar eclipse, is part of a family of three. 2017, 2014, and tomorrow. Do you see that? Okay, so 2017, Rosh Chodesh Elul, major sign. Then 2020, we have quiet. We have COVID. After seven signs for 7 years. Say it with me, seven signs in 7 years. Then COVID arrives on the earth. Do you think that's a coincidence? No, it's really not a coincidence because signs have warned us beforehand. Do you see that? Okay, we have quiet. We don't have anything appearing in the heavens. We just have COVID. That the last documentation was over 700 million individuals on the earth were affected with COVID. All right? Then we have world events in 2022. We don't have signs, but we have world events. We have the earth now shifting. Everything in earth shifting after the seven signs for 7 years, beginning in 2020 with COVID. After that, we have Afghanistan, 2021. Everyone viewed the plane leaving Afghanistan with hundreds and hundreds of Afghani people not wanting the Taliban to take over Afghanistan again. Is that a light thing or a little thing? Well, to us right now, it might be a light thing. Do you know why? Because we get conditioned to calamity. Once we see one calamity, the calamities continue and we continue to get conditioned to it. But God doesn't want us conditioned to calamity. He wants us to be sensitive so we don't miss our moment with destiny. Are you following me? All right. Then in 2022, 2021, Afghanistan, 2022, no signs, but we have the Russian invasion of the Ukraine. Is that a big deal or a little deal? It's major. All right, then we have on Shemini Atzeret and Simchat Torah in the next year. Notice every year there's a major event. 2021, Afghanistan, along with so many other things. 2022, Russia invades Ukraine. 2023, October 7th. 2023, we have atrocities that have not been committed against Jews since the Holocaust. We have Hamas burning and putting to death 1,200 people in the most brutal, cruel fashion. And I want you to know, there's a lot of propaganda. And we won't get into that. Because terrorism also operates psychologically. There's psychological warfare that's going on right now all over the earth. It started on October 8th. It started as soon as October 7th was over. Psychological warfare came into motion with hitting the media to be able to now begin seducing people's minds and controlling people's minds through psychological warfare, through institutions that are being guided by terrorism. Don't want to say anymore. Okay, then we have October 14th solar eclipse. Then we have Purim 2024. We have three mega signs. Number one, we have Purim that was last month, a blood moon. Tomorrow, we're going to have the holy eclipse. And on Rosh Hashanah, Pastor Sanjay, give us the names of Rosh Hashanah, and the last one, give us the Yom HaDin, what that means.
All right. Rosh Hashanah, like you said, Dr. Carell, has many names. It's the first day of Tishri, which is literally the first day of the seventh month. It's known as the Day of Judgment, so it's called Judgment Day. All of creation is judged on Judgment Day. It's called the Yom HaDin, which is Judgment Day. It's called the Day of, it's called the Lord's Day, as we see in Revelation. It's called the Day of the Blowing of the Shofars, the Blowing of the Trumpets.
Yes. So many.
Yeah, it goes on. Day of Remembrance.
Okay, so people, a lot of Christians that love to celebrate Rosh Hashanah don't know the name of Rosh Hashanah. They instead use Feast of Trumpets. But the actual name is Rosh Hashanah. It's the biblical new year. And it's also known as the Yom HaDin, which is Judgment Day.
Thank you for joining us today on Day of Destiny. We invite you to our website at mydayofdestiny.com, where you can easily access other podcasts and obtain your copy of Dr. Corral's latest book, Secrets of the Anointing. Also, we want to take this moment to invite you to engage in extending your hand of kindness by planting your seed or offering for multitudes that include orphans, providing water wells, providing medical supplies, clinics, feeding programs, and many other services to the suffering church and through efforts of evangelism worldwide. Just go to our website and click the donate button or text to give. Text HESED, C-H-E-S-E-D to 7797. That's HESED, C-H-E-S-E-D, to 77977. You are also invited to visit Dr. Michelle Corral Facebook or Instagram. We look forward to having you encounter the anointing with us on our next Day of Destiny podcast.